For FM Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 2014 Raindance Film Festival, and I'm joined by Michael Muller, who is the screenwriter and co-producer of the film. So thanks very much for joining us.
You're very, very welcome, Matt.
All right, so, and the film that you presented was The Beat Beneath My Feet. Would you like to tell listeners what the story of the film is, first of all?
A fallen rock god called Max Stone has faked his death because he has personal problems and owes a fortune in unpaid tax, and he resurfaces in social housing in South London, bizarrely, and gets recognised by a music-obsessed teenager who recognises him and says, "I know who you are. You're clearly not dead. If you don't teach me the dark arts of rock guitar, I will tell the world that you're still alive."
Let me ask you, where did the inspiration for this story come from? It was personal.
It is, actually. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be a rock star. Why? Music excites me in a way that nothing else does. I still go to gigs now, more now that I have teenagers of my own, the oldest of which, Louis, has got a band, Radio, that actually feature in the film. So I've always loved music. I've always had that, wouldn't it be great to get up on stage and really just, you know, rock it with the power chords and then take it mellow and make everyone cry and then bring it up and make them all jump. And, I thought, I want to write something around this, you know, sort of a bit of wish fulfillment. And I had such a great time on the last film that Scoop did, which was called City Slacker, a romantic comedy, which had a wonderful original soundtrack. And it's the first film that I produced from beginning to end, as well as writing. And part of the process that I enjoyed most was the music, putting this great music to the picture, you know, what it does to the emotion, not leading the emotion, but just sort of supporting it. And I loved the composers, Phil Jewison, Paul Cartledge, Jeff Jackson, and I thought, I want to, the next film, I want to have music right in the middle of it. So that's kind of, you know, why this came into being.
So the whole project started through music. You wanted to make something that where music was a key element.
Absolutely, and kind of rock music. And so the starting point was this young kid who is a kind of sad loner who plays guitar secretly because his mum, he's been brought up by a single mum in this boring little flat in South London, and he goes to school and he's bullied and he feels like an outsider. Hey, more personal stuff. I've always felt like a bit of an outsider. You know, a lot of writers, a lot of artists do. Yeah. They, you know, the world kind of happens around them, and they kind of, you talk to so many actors, musicians, artists, they've always said, you know, I've always kind of felt outside. And that's a good thing, because you have this kind of objective view of the world, which you need sometimes. And you in your work, you're kind of making sense of chaos.
Actually, that brings me to the next step, because they come together, but it's like two different generations, not only music, but two different generations in general coming together.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, how did you relate to that?
Maybe it's like me and my son, isn't it? There's two generations coming together. A lot of his music inspiration started off from listening to tracks on my iPod. You know? So that must have, you know, filtered into my writing of it. I love to write stories with intergenerational characters. That makes sense, you know, an older person and a younger person, because the drama comes from their different life views. So at the beginning, very much sometimes, you know, older people and younger people think we're poles apart, they don't understand each other. And when they actually sit down and talk and really communicate, they realize, do you know what? Nothing's changed. We have a lot in common. The problems that I had as an older, when I was younger, are the same problems that you're having now. And do you know what? I understand. And together, we make something really special. And you used to get that where older people in society were respected, the elders, you know.
Yes.
And we've kind of lost that now. And
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a bad thing. You know, I think that one of the most beautiful relationships is often between children and the grandparents.
Yeah. And so the collaboration with John Williams now, he's a younger director. So what was it like collaborating with him, and what did he bring to the table? What did he add to the screenplay?
A lot. I mean, I'll tell you about how we looked for a younger director, because we wanted someone that was hungry to do a feature film. So we looked at a lot of first-time directors, a lot of directors who'd done shorts, and we, you know, literally probably about 100 things we looked at, and there was so similar, and nothing kind of stood out. And when we saw John's stuff, it was head and shoulders above everything else, because he has a voice, you know, an individuality about his work. We felt very emotionally connected to it, and we met him, and there was a real kind of spark between us creatively. He made a few things really clear, the sort of film that he wants to do, and it really chimed with what we wanted to do, a film with kind of universal appeal. And I know, you know, you talked to sales agents and they said, universal appeal, what does that mean? What I mean by that is a story that any generation can relate to and not be offended by anything in it and turned off. And we thrashed through the screenplay together, and I love that process. Writers live in a dark hole with their souls, you know, where it's just you and your soul and a computer screen, and then you show it to someone and they say, yeah, okay, but this could be better, and you get shoved back in your dark hole again, and they won't let you out until it's good. And I love the process where you sit down with a director who has a cinematic vision, because words on a page are words on a page. A movie is pictures. So what you have to do is write pictures. And it's really hard when you're a writer because you're dealing with words. You hear the dialogue in your head. And what you have to do is think, you know, what are people seeing? What are people feeling? How are the pictures going to affect their emotions? And John is a very visual director. He's done a lot of animation. He's done a lot of music videos, Coldplay, Radiohead. Mm-hmm. And I loved that process, working with him, and I learned a lot working with John. So, you know, for me, it was a really, you know, great collaboration. I think what we have is a lot stronger than it would have been if I directed it. So,
of course, Nick Galitzine plays the teen who dreams of becoming a singer or songwriter, and I, you know, he's great in it too. I think you really discovered a talent by casting him. And Luke Perry delivers one of the best performances I've ever seen him deliver on the big screen, especially. What do you think? What did you think of them?
I mean, when Luke walked into the production offices, you know, we flew him in from LA and he arrived, and I saw him the next morning. He walked in, and I, you know, I'm supposed to be all producerly and say, hey, I'm Michael Muller, the producer. So glad you could be in my movie. But I just went, Luke, oh man, you look like the person I've written. I'm so pleased. You know, and he just gave me a big hug. I said, yeah, cool man, cool man. It's a great script. I love it. I'm looking forward to it, you know.
That's good.
You know, so yeah, he just walked in and he was like Max Stone, Steve. He had, you know, with when you cast a star, okay, for want of a better word, you get a lot of things. You get experience in front of the camera. Luke just knows what he's doing. Low budget movie, you know, we have to move quickly. We shot the whole thing in 18 days, which is, you know, which is crackers, you know, which is 3 6-day weeks. So, you know, there's not a lot of time for people to discover their character, find their character. You have to cast people that have it in them and that you're confident will be able to portray it.
And one more thing I have to say is that there's an emotional depth that you don't see in films of the kind. That was also the goal, obviously, to differentiate itself from other works of the kind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a storyteller, but I can only write the sort of movie that I would like to see. So this is the sort of movie that I would like to see, that deals with issues truthfully. you know, it's very easy to resort to the cliche and then, you know, oh, I saw this thing in the film and it really works, so I'm going to put it in my film, you know. Hey, after a while people say, I've seen that before, and they switch off. So you want to give it a truth and a freshness, and that comes with being truthful to yourself, because no one, you know, to writers out there, no one will tell a story as well as you tell it. Don't be being imitative. You know, be truthful to yourself. Of course, you have to have a structure and you need to know the rules, but you have to tap into something in yourself. What do you have to tap into? Emotion, emotion, emotion. Always tap into that. If it means something to you, and it's and you can convey that on the screen, it's going to be truthful, and it'll resonate with people emotionally.
Yeah, awesome. Well, with that, I'd like to thank you very much and congratulate you on a wonderful film, The Beat Beneath My Feet, which we hope to see with a wide release in the future, and hopefully it'll happen and as many people watch it as possible.
We're going to have a screen at Clapham Picture House actually on November the 9th, which is a Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Cool.
Book up, you know, because if we fill it out, we'll get another screening and another, and then hopefully go nationwide. So, you know, this is where it's like cinema on demand. If everyone plugs into this film,
I've noticed a lot of passion around this project from everyone involved, which is amazing for me to see. Because a lot of the times you interview people, and you don't really see that. It's like they're going through routine. You know, this is just routine. And a lot of the times you really don't hear much of the film, even if they're great. But this passion, I think, is going to really help the film go places.
Good. Thank you very much. Yeah, and people like you spreading the word and plugging into that. Yeah,
we try. Thanks again, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.